Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us now, he'll be calling the game, the Bears and Giants on Fox. So if you're watching that one, listen for our next guest, Charles Davis. Charles, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Great.
Belated happy Thanksgiving to you both.
Yeah, same to you, Charles, and to the family. And we've got the Bears and Giants that you're going to be calling. No Trubisky, it looks like, Chase Daniel. But now as we head into Week 13 and then into the month of December at 8-3, are the Bears a surprise to you? Did you expect this to be them at this stage of the season in a division where everybody thought Minnesota and Green Bay were going to be the powers?
I expected them to be improved. I truly did, because the defense has been a constant over the last three seasons. And I thought that Nagy would be able to coax a lot more out of their offense. Trubisky with another year of growth and the concentrated coaching he would get from him, he and Mark Helfrich. But when the season began, I kind of put their number at 9 and thought that they were third in the division with Minnesota and Green Bay, whatever order you wanted to take there. I thought that they would improve, they would fight for a playoff spot, but did I see them at 8-3 and out in front of the pack? I can't say that I saw that. I think that'd be revisionist history.
Now, Charles, don't you think that Khalil Mack kind of elevated that, brought some confidence to them, and then especially in the first game, the way that he played, I think he brought momentum and confidence to the organization.
I think you're right, and it's almost – he did such a great job of doing that, that we've almost forgotten that they lost that opener.
Yeah.
You know, he played so well that night on a guy with really almost no practice. Just kind of like, here's your helmet, here's your locker. We'll make someone get you, make sure you get to the team bus on time. Here, meet the guys. Hey guys, it's Khalil. And then he goes out and destroys Green Bay. And then, of course, Aaron Rodgers came back in, does what Aaron Rodgers does. But after that, I think your point is well taken. I think they went in their locker room and said, hold up a second. We don't need to take a back seat. Look at what this guy is going to do, and it's only going to get better. And the offense continued to improve. You know, continued to get better. And Matt Nagy got a little bit of footing as a head coach, because I thought they got a little bit conservative in that ball game, trying to just hold on. And I think the NFL is going the way of college football in a lot of situations. You better not go out there trying to hold on. You better go out there and continue to play, because people are coming for you on offense now.
Hey, Charles, you know it's going to be an interesting division. I mean, an 8-8 could win it as the NFC East. Because if Dallas loses tonight, as probably everybody expects, they're 6-6. Eagles beat the Redskins. All three teams are 6-6.
Yeah, and somewhere former Commissioner Pete Rozelle will have a big grin on his face, won't he? I mean, because he was the one who brought in the idea of parity. Like, he was kind of looking, how can we make this league where everyone has a chance? And it's kind of continued. Paul Tagliabue was his, you know, right-hand guy, and he continued it on through there with the way we do scheduling and first place, and matching up divisions. Every year, you've got a chance to be 8-8. Now, which way are you going to go, you know, above it or below it? This NFC East, I feel like Dallas has the best team out of the three right now.
Agreed.
Because of what's going on. But as you pointed out, if they lose to New Orleans and everybody gets to 6-6, what dose of confidence kicks in? What breaks do you get down the stretch? I just think that Eagles secondary is so depleted, it scares the heck out of me. How they got through with the Giants was a big deal. But the Dallas team and their ability to run the football with young legs versus Adrian Peterson's legs, that may tilt the difference. And I know Adrian is like, what? What? Someone questioned me again? Here I come. Yeah. But I just think that it's a hard pull for Washington. They've been through a lot. Different offensive line, mid backup quarterback, 33-year-old running back. We'll see.
Hey, Charles, one other question about the Redskins. How shocked are you that they put in a claim, you know, for Reuben Foster? I mean, to me, it made zero sense.
Yeah.
You know, your opinion.
I almost cease to be shocked by anyone doing that with a super talented player. because someone's going to take the shot, and someone, and what I mean in this case, Washington, you know, they had to have discussions behind closed doors. They're not naive people to think that they're going to take a major hit.
Yeah.
But I think that they're doing it truthfully, hoping that this thing works its way through and he's ready to go in 2019. I don't think this is a move for 2018. They've got a lot they've got to investigate. And when you hear the discussion and hear them say, yeah, we've got a lot of things we're still trying to run down. What? So to me, it's much more. Remember, he's on the commissioner's list right now,
right.
Correct?
Yep.
So if he's on a commissioner's list, I think they're trying to figure out, if this thing works out, could we have a guy who could play for us in 2019, and we'll see if he'll play for us and not have the issues that he had in San Francisco. I would be very skeptical
right.
about
Since
the whole idea of
Leopards don't change their spots.
No, and here's the thing that really throws me, and I don't want to wander into territory I shouldn't be in, but my understanding is that what got him suspended last year or the start of this season was an altercation with a young lady. And she recanted her story. And here we are again. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the same young lady.
Yes, it is.
Charles.
Why would I want to invest there?
Charles I'm Davis sorry. Joining us on Vinny
no
and Haney. Yep, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ravens are at Atlanta. Lamar Jackson expected to start. But Joe Flacco back at practice today. That news just came out in the last couple of minutes here. We'll start with Lamar. First two against Cincinnati and Oakland, two of the worst run defenses in the league, and the Ravens handled them the way they were supposed to Atlanta, not that much better. We're still going to assume that Lamar is going to start. Stranger things have happened. Talk about this Ravens offense and the emergence of Gus Edwards and how what we might be seeing running the football could be a good thing for Baltimore moving forward with Atlanta, Kansas City looming with two elite quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree totally. And I'm not in their doors, but I wouldn't hesitate to start Lamar Jackson again. I just think they've got momentum going with him. I think they've got a team that feels good about it. And getting a guy like Gus Edwards going, it just tells you there are a lot of guys who can tote the rock. Opportunity sometimes kicks in. You know what it reminds me of a little bit, guys? Thomas Rawls in Seattle a few years ago. You know, a guy that no one really, they didn't really invest in, didn't dive in on. Thomas was an undrafted free agent, gets an opportunity, and fits what Seattle does and fits their scheme, and he produced. You know, it was short-lived. What, it was a season and a half or so before he got hurt and was never the same. But during that time frame, he was a heck of a running back for them and fit. Think about Seattle taking Chris Carson in the 7th round at Oklahoma State. Everyone passed on Chris Carson, right? They said he kind of fits what we do in the way that he runs the ball, probably better than he fit Oklahoma State's spread scheme. And whammo, after a knee injury last year, he's back as their leading rusher. So I think, sometimes you get to that. Plus, I think that organizations have a DNA to them, and this fits the Baltimore DNA. They want to run the football. They want to be physical. It helps their defense, which is always very good. And they're back doing that. Gus Edwards is providing it. I would ride that train. Plus, if he's running the ball that well, that gives you more opportunities with Lamar Jackson, either out the back door, cold quarterback runs, bootlegs, broken plays, and that's where his strength is.
And I think the other thing it does, it keeps Matt Ryan off the field.
And that helps a lot.
Yeah, I watched the film, and the offensive line, especially the guards, they're horrendous. For Atlanta, he's got MVP type numbers. You know that's the amazing thing is, I mean, they've got good receivers, but he's fighting for his life every play.
Go back to Thanksgiving night against New Orleans.
I watched it. That's what I watched.
And you watched it, but think of it this way, and tell me where I'm way off track. The score was obviously a decided advantage for New Orleans.
Yep.
But how many times did Atlanta get into the red zone and screw it up?
Three. They turned it over three times.
One of them, Julio Jones on the helicopter.
Yep.
Anzalone came in and popped the ball free.
And then another time, my buddy, the right guard there, whiffed and they knocked the ball out of his hand.
Yeah, I mean, that was an ole right there.
Oh, boy.
I mean, if you'd been there with the bull, the whole crowd would have jumped up on that one. And then Calvin Ridley down inside the five. you know, makes the play, ball gets popped free, New Orleans comes out with it. So it's not like they can't move it, and that's despite the struggle inside. Remember, they started the season with Lavitre and Fusco as their guards.
Right.
Schweitzer and Garland, Ben Garland.
Yeah, he's bad.
They both started last year and struggled. They upgraded because Lavitre was hurt last year. They brought him back. He gets hurt again. Schweitzer has to come in and play. Then Fusco gets hurt. Garland has to come and play. You know what's really strange about that whole pairing?
Huh.
Last year, Garland played left guard and Schweitzer played right guard. But when the injuries kicked in, Schweitzer was the first guy up. He went in at left guard. They left him there. And Garland had to come in at right guard. So they're both playing the opposite guards they even played last year. And that's where the struggle has been. Yet Atlanta's still fashioning together a heck of an offense.
Charles Davis will be on the call. Bears at Giants. It's on Fox. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff this coming Sunday. Charles, we always appreciate your time. We'll be catching up with you soon.
Thanks, Charles.
Hey, look forward to it. You guys take care. Isn't this a fun time of year?
Yes, it is. Great. Merry football Christmas. Charles Davis, Fox. You can check him out with the Bears at the Giants at Vinny and Haney 105.7 The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.